friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time.
This season, we will be talking about walking with the past, but pressing on towards freedom in Christ.
Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. This season, we have felt like God wanted us to spend some time, some very intentional time, looking back over our lives and our past struggles. And during some of the most difficult times of struggle and pain, we also feel like God has used those seasons to not only stretch our faith,
that's right,
but to strengthen it as well. And the challenges are a reminder that we are not alone. We've never been alone, and we can be real and honest about our walk with the Lord, and He wants to walk with us. We are inviting the Lord to help us see ourselves the way He sees us, and we are leaning into a deeper understanding of the healing that He wants to bring us physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and, you know, really just any area that we need healing. And then we want to press on and press into the power and freedom that we've been given in Christ. And that's what we're doing this season. And before we introduce our special guest today, Kelly, I just wanted to read Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 from the Message version. And it says this, "So let's do it full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps His word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching."
Love it. Love that.
Yeah. So we are just so excited to have a good friend, Cindy Robinson, join us at the table today.
Yes, we're so glad to have you, Cindy. And just a few things about Cindy. You grew up in the Midlands of South Carolina, and if you're wondering where is that, it's kind of between two other small towns, Kershaw and Pageland, South Carolina.
And that must be a small town because I don't even know those two towns.
Both of those are small towns. Yes.
Yes. Cindy and her husband, Fred, were high school sweethearts and married after they both graduated from the University of South Carolina.
Go Gamecocks.
And they are celebrating 46 years of marriage next week on March 18th.
Yes. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And you were telling us off air that you knew each other 5 years before that.
Yes.
So that is a long time together.
It is.
What a testimony in itself. Cindy spent her career as an administrative assistant for several companies before her first daughter was born. And then you were blessed to be able to stay home and work hard as a wife and mom for 15 years before you re-entered the workforce as an administrative assistant for a nonprofit here in Charleston. Cindy and Fred have two beautiful daughters who live across the country in Los Angeles, California.
Yep.
Cindy, thank you for being here with us, and we look forward to just learning from your story how faithful God is.
I'm honored to be here, honored to sit at the table with both of you amazing ladies.
Oh, thank you, Cindy. Thanks. And I just am looking back 6-7 years, I've had the privilege of sitting in multiple Bible studies with you and Fred in group Bible studies, but also just some women's studies that we have gone through together. And we've laughed together. We've cried together. We have prayed for just God to move in so many ways, in so many lives that we know of people together. And I just see Jesus in you, and you bring peace into a room. And I am just so thankful that you said yes to this invitation. And so we look forward to what you're going to share with us and our listeners, just about God's faithfulness in your own life during difficult seasons. And so that just kind of gets us to where we are today. We've been talking about what walking with a past looks like and what pressing on towards freedom looks like. And so we just want to give you a few minutes and share with us maybe a season that you've walked through in your own life, your own past that tested your faith. And take it, Cindy. Share what.
Well, Christy, rather than a season, I would say I have had a lifelong struggle with low self-esteem, which often led to periods of depression. Even though I grew up in a Christian home and I believed in God at an early age, it's taken me a lifetime to overcome feelings of inadequacy and to discern the voice of truth over the voice of the enemy. I've strived all of my life to please others, and I based my worthiness on other people's reactions to my performance. I wanted to be a good daughter, a good wife, a good mother, a good employee, and I spent my energy doing all the things necessary to become what others wanted me to be. And Kelly, I've heard you speak about this on this podcast. We often find our identity in the jobs we hold, but that's not who we are. But that's the mentality I've had for the majority of my life. My identity was defined by the different roles I played instead of being defined by who I am in Christ. It wasn't until 2010, when I was in my mid-50s, that the Lord started to work in my life through certain events to help me fix my eyes on Jesus and find my worth in Him.
Wow.
It all began in May of 2010 when I underwent major back surgery after becoming debilitated by constant pain. And Kelly, I'm sure you understand from your own struggles that any health episode can cause anxiety and depression and cause us to question God.
Yeah, for sure.
About 6 months later, in December of that year, I quit my job to be able to spend more time with my aging father. I began driving to Columbia 3 days a week to visit him in a nursing home. My father was slowly fading into dementia, and with each trip, I worried that he would no longer remember who I was. 3 months later, in March of 2011, I fell and broke my ankle. It required another surgery and rendered me immobile for several months. 2 months after that, in May 2011, my younger daughter, who was living in Columbia at the time, decided she would move to California to be with her older sister. This left a huge void in my life. Not only was there distance between us, but now we were in different time zones. It was difficult to even have a telephone conversation because when I was starting my day, they were still in bed. And when I was eating lunch, they were just getting to work. When I was ready for bed, they were ending their work day to go home. So I struggled for any kind of communication with them. And finally, 4 months later, in September 2011, my father passed away. I no longer felt like I had a purpose. I had quit my job to take care of him, and now he was gone. And now I no longer had parents because my mother had passed away about 5 years earlier. So this avalanche of events threw me into a deep depression and caused a brokenness within me that is hard to explain. I felt like I was in a deep hole and I couldn't climb out. It was hard to get out of bed and just put one foot in front of the other. I couldn't focus. It was hard to eat because everything tasted like cardboard. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror because I felt so worthless. The enemy constantly whispered negativity in my ear. He told me I wasn't a good wife because I was incapable of loving my husband like I was supposed to. He told me I wasn't a good mother, and that's why my children had moved away. He told me I hadn't been a good employee because I had quit my job to take care of my father. And he told me I wasn't a good daughter because my father had died. And then he told me I wasn't a good Christian because I wasn't attending church every Sunday. On and on it went. My life was in upheaval. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, I was spent. I felt like I was holding on to reality just by my fingernails. I remember going outside and lying in a hammock on my deck, looking up at the sky and feeling totally lost. I wanted someone to come and hold me and tell me everything was going to be okay. I felt like I was falling into the abyss that Satan was claiming my soul. Yet in that moment, I sensed the presence of God. He reminded me of the scripture in John 10, 27 through 28, where he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." So I just kept praying, "God, please hold on to me and don't let me go." I knew I needed help, so I decided to find a Christian counselor and begin therapy. And the one thing that counselor did was speak life into me. She pointed out all the good things in my life and helped me to focus on that instead of what the enemy was telling me. Over time, I began to climb out of that dark hole of depression and experience life again. My mental and emotional state greatly improved. Still, I felt like I had no purpose because I had quit my job. So my husband and my daughters encouraged me to find a hobby. I took up photography and began experiencing the beauty and peace in God's creation.
Wow.
I also began sewing for a charity called Little Dresses for Africa. When my children were young, I used to sew a lot of their clothes, and I really missed that. So one day I just Googled sewing for charity, and I found the Little Dresses for Africa website. While both of those things brought me fulfillment, God still had not completed his work in me. Years passed, and now it's 2018, and although my life had drastically improved, I still struggled with periods of low self-esteem and occasional depression. I enrolled in a Bible study at my current church, and we studied the book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, by Lisa Turkhurst. It was during that study I learned a habit of speaking positive statements over my life using the alphabet. Usually every night when I got in bed, the enemy would just bombard me with negative thoughts. So I learned to use the alphabet to speak Christ-like statements to combat his words. For example, for the letter A, I would say, "I am adored." For B, "I am beloved." For C, "I am cherished." This practice helped me tremendously, and I rarely got halfway through the alphabet before I fell asleep. One particular week during the study, I began experiencing some of those same old feelings of depression due to the absence of my children. So I asked the leader of the group, Annette Weddington, a good friend of ours, if she would meet with me. And over coffee, she began to speak life into me. She pointed out positive qualities of my life, such as being married to my husband for 40-plus years and us raising our daughters to become strong, independent, and successful women. During that conversation, it was almost like a switch flipped in my head, and for the first time, I began to see my life from Christ's point of view instead of from the negative view I had been fed by Satan. It was life-changing. I began to allow Romans 12:2 to shape my thoughts. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Amen.
In 2020, I participated in another Bible study on anxiety taught by Suzanne Weathers. She's been a guest
she
on your
has,
show.
Yes.
And I think both of y'all have been through that
yes.
study. Yeah, I think, Kelly, I think you and I were in the study together.
Yeah.
It was taught over Zoom during the pandemic. So I don't know if you remember, but one week for homework, we were asked to write an affirmation statement. Well, I'd never heard of such a thing. I didn't know what an affirmation statement was. So I Googled it. And the definition I found online was, "An affirmation is usually a sentence of powerful words aimed to tap into your conscious and unconscious mind to motivate you, to challenge you, to push you to reach your full potential in life." Of course, I was seeking an affirmation statement from a Christian point of view instead of a worldview. So one day during my study time, I just began to pray to the Holy Spirit. I asked him to give me the words he wanted me to say, and these are the statements he affirmed in me. I am a child of God, redeemed by the blood of his only son, Jesus, to live my life so that others can see him through me. I am strong in my faith, surrounded by fellow believers who encourage me daily as I persevere in the race before me. I am secure in his everlasting love, which is so wide, so long, so high, and so deep that it is immeasurable. I am obedient to his leading, confidently knowing that he upholds me with his righteous right hand. I am repentant when I fail, assured that he is faithful and just to forgive me and wash me clean. I am thankful for his many blessings, for he satisfies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm happy to share in his generosity, knowing that in doing so, I am pleasing God. And finally, I am hopeful and expectant for the home he has prepared for me in heaven, because he has promised that I will one day meet him face to face. There are scriptures attached to each one of these affirmations, words of truth and wisdom to guide my life. The words came so fast that day, it was hard to write them all down, but God was solidifying his place in my life through his words. Now it's 2024, and as you can see, it has taken years of God working in me and through others to help me reach this point in my spiritual life. Do I still have struggles? Yes, but I'm so much stronger than I was 14 years ago. Do I still regress at times? Yes, but now I have the tools in my toolbox, as Suzanne would say, to help me overcome. It is through his strength that I'm able to keep those feelings of inadequacy and depression at bay.
Wow. Cindy, thank you so much for just leading this podcast off with God's goodness and his faithfulness. And some of those stories I have never heard of, the hard things that you've gone through, I've never even heard from your mouth. But what I do know and what I resonate with is the God that loved you and has brought you as far as he has brought Kelly through what she's gone through, what he's brought me through, and praise God, he's not finished with us yet.
Absolutely.
And he's still unpacking things that are going to get us to the ultimate freedom that we can experience here on earth. We don't have just glory to look forward to. We have that abundance here on earth as Christians and followers so that we can share with others. So you have encouraged me, I know.
Me too. Yes. Yeah. And we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back and continue to talk about God's freedom.
Hey, friends, we would like to invite you to join us at Cup of Manna Coffee Shop in downtown Somerville, South Carolina on March the 13th from 9 to 10:30 a.m.
And if you come in person, we'd love for you to enter a drawing to win a Cup of Manna gift card along with a basket of goodies to encourage you to keep walking. Welcome back. And Cindy, I'm so thankful you're here. And I'm just thinking of our listeners who are where you were 14 years ago, just in the pit, desperate for help and feel lost. And we can look at your life and be so encouraged about what God does. And so if you're there, if you're struggling and depressed, there's hope.
Yes.
There's hope. And we know that there's hope in Christ, and maybe that's through counseling or a small group, but there is hope, and you are not alone.
Exactly.
So We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Well, feel free to just share more of your testimony, Cindy. We have already been encouraged, so share with us.
Okay. Well, one of the things I would say to the listeners if they're going through a hard season is to stay in the Word. Make it a daily habit to spend time studying the Bible and communing with God in prayer. I can promise you it will not be time wasted. God says in Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God has made this so evident in my life. During the COVID shutdown, I began to read and study my Bible like I never had before. I felt an urgency to learn more and more about God. One day while I was studying, I began to have a little bit of a faith crisis. I was confused and I couldn't understand what I was feeling. And then I heard the Lord whisper, "Cindy, you just need to trust me." So that's what I determined to do. From that day on, I decided no matter what happened in my life, I was going to trust him. So when I received a call on June 30th, 2021, telling me I had breast cancer, I had an unexplainable peace inside my soul. I wasn't upset. I didn't cry. I wasn't afraid. God had been preparing me for this all along, and I knew that no matter the outcome, God was in control.
Amen.
His word is full of truth and life, and he uses it to strengthen us. So it's important to stay in his word. Secondly, I would say, surround yourself with people who speak life into you. Distance yourself from any negative talk or gossip. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So find those people who speak life and make them a part of your inner circle. It makes a huge difference to have a group of people you can lean on in times of trouble and those who will pray for you.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Yeah. Well, I know that for sure. And God has blessed you, blessed me to be in your inner circle in the last couple years. And Cindy, you are so good about speaking life and truth into others. And I just have benefited from that word that God spoke to you a couple years ago. Like, I am benefiting from that. So thank you.
I've grown from you too, Christy.
Oh, thanks.
I feel so honored to be in a group of women that I'm in and just to have y'all speak life into me as well.
And it's available. Those groups are out there, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, we started in one group, and due to size and growth and like we were almost forced to kind of everybody split ways and okay, you've grown up now, you need to lead a group.
Exactly.
And that was hard because we didn't want to. We had gotten into a group that truly knew each other, but that's discipleship works.
Exactly.
Not our way, just like God's ways are not our ways. Once we are strong and we know truth and we know that that's how it sets others free, that's the beauty of breaking into
it
smaller
multiplies.
Groups. Multiplication
yes.
process. That's
yes.
just God's way, and it's good. And gosh, I'm so glad to know and see that firsthand.
Yeah. So yeah, you had said, how can others press on toward the freedom in Christ like I have learned to
yes,
do?
Yes, please yeah. share.
I would say believe with all of your heart that God is faithful and he only seeks goodness for us. One of my favorite praise songs is "The Goodness of God." Some of the lyrics go like this. "I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You've led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, wow. and I have lived in the goodness of God. And then the chorus says, and all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. No matter what happens to us in this life, God is there for us, and he is faithful to sustain us no matter what we face. And there is such freedom in knowing he is our champion.
Mm, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And what I'm just picturing is a posture of praise, a posture of gratitude, a posture of trusting in God when we can't see what the plan is. So if you're listening, I think that's the encouragement, that freedom in Christ is available to anybody who is willing to just posture their heart, posture, get in a place of posture just to, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand what's going on around me, but I trust you and believe that you are able to turn this, whatever it is, into something that might not seem beautiful, but eventually can become beautiful. Yeah. And so I just wanted to close with one other scripture. Revelation 12:11 reminds us that we are overcomers, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Right. And Cindy, that is exactly what you've done here today. You are proclaiming that God is your healer. He is your redeemer. He has restored what the enemy wanted to take.
Exactly. Right.
And we are not giving him a place at our table. We are dismissing him in those areas that he tries to come in and attack and remind and, you know, get us to places where we've been in the past. We love you, Lord, and we know you're a good God. And so I did want to just mention Cindy does photography, and her charity that she sews for. We are going to put those links on our show notes just so that you can see her artwork. It is absolutely beautiful. She has, how many parks have you been to in South Carolina?
I don't know. I don't remember.
A lot. There's a lot of them, and I it's beautiful, the work that you do.
Wow. Thank you.
But we will definitely share those links in our show notes. And every week, we like to leave our listeners with something. And this week, we would like to leave you with a question just to talk to God about. And that question is this: when you look back over your life, when have you felt the absolute closest to God? And we pray that today and over this week, as you sit with him and talk to him just about whatever might come up, that you would draw near to him. And we believe and we know that he will draw near to you. And we just pray that that experience of just being in his presence is a powerful, freeing time for you. He loves you. We love you. So until next time,
keep walking.
Rooted Studio.